PST, Tassel Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I am back from the beach, but you're going to be hearing lots of stuff here this week as we took the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road down to Ocean City. We were at the Ocean City Convention Center on Thursday and Friday for the Maryland Counties Conference. Good times, lots of great conversation, stuff about virtually everything in the state. We had Senators Ben Cardin, as well as Chris Van Hollen on, Mayor Brandon Scott, lots of other guests, lots of other promises, including next week when the Crab Cake Tour returns to Glen Burnie. We're going to be at Pappas Crab House. All are brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. I got my Window Nation shirt rocking here. Windows, sidings, doors, 866-90-NATION. Make sure you're taking care of them, as well as all of our sponsors. It is our 25th anniversary. Luke, what do you think of the new logo, man? You like it? I mean, I feel like cupcakes and fireworks feels very Walt Disney to me.
Yeah, very celebratory and plenty to celebrate as it pertains to not just WNST and Baltimore Positive, but the Baltimore Orioles continuing to roll and a West Coast trip that felt like it lasted 3 weeks in some ways. But the difference this year compared to recent years, you got the sense there was still plenty of juice and people following even late at night. You know, maybe not as crazy as when it's a 7:05 game, of course, but people were very interested, and the Orioles continue to play not just interesting baseball, but good baseball. And they did exactly as they should against the worst team in baseball in Oakland over the weekend. They took care of business, and they took care of business in pretty emphatic form, other than, I guess, Saturday night with the extra inning win. But certainly they took it out on the A's on Sunday afternoon with Gunnar Henderson and company leading the way.
Well, I mean, we get on Bradish in a minute. We could talk about Gunnar Henderson sort of passing the cycle. The cycle, too easy. I'll take the double. I'll come back and do that later. The things they're doing historically, right? I saw a stat about 620 ball. Right. And the 69 Orioles famously were very, very successful. But in the history of the franchise, we're talking 97 wire to wire. 79 Orioles were really good. The 83 Orioles were pretty good. The 81 Orioles were, maybe better than any of them in this split season and didn't even make the playoffs. But this team, where it stands against the franchise, going back to 66, what happened in 64 and even 60 with some near misses when they only let one team from the American League in, and then 70, 71, 3, 4, very, very good teams under Earl Weaver. This thing at 620, and by the way, it took Kevin Brown and Ben McDonald. This speaks to the broadcasting. I could talk to that every day. But that it sounded like they weren't allowed to talk about how bad Oakland was. And they didn't even mention until the eighth inning that, they're getting eliminated today, and it's August 20th, and they've won 39 games, and they're going to lose 100 before they've won 34 games. Excuse me. They're going to lose 100 before they win 40. That's also hard to do. You know, only really awful teams have done that. But the Orioles are on the edge. And, dude, it's August 20th, and they're not going to play the Yankees and the Red Sox 14 times with big payrolls where it's lopsided. They're playing a relatively sort of normal schedule. They're going to have to go to the West Coast again. And we were talking about this in May when we knew they were good. Like, hey, schedule makers don't like the Angelos family. They're going to, do whatever they can do to hose them because they're at the bottom of the pecking order of getting favors from the league on scheduling. But that being said, they've also been so irrelevant that send them out to the West Coast three times in August and September. Who cares? Well, they just went out to the West Coast in clean clocks, and now they're going to come back home to fanfare. And we are ramping up now playoff ticket sales, a different kind of mojo for how good the team can be. When where's the A's? Oh, it's only been Kyle Bradish for 2 months.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Kyle Bradish has pitched excellent baseball since April. And remember, he had the weird start down in Texas. He gets hit on the foot. He goes on the IL. That's what brought Grayson Rodriguez back to the major leagues after the Orioles had initially sent him down. But since that opening month, I mean, he's just been on a roll. And I thought it was interesting over the course of the road trip, Kyle Gibson not pitching his best right now. He's the veteran that they're kind of leaning on from an innings perspective, right? Jack Flaherty, since his first start, it hasn't looked great. But meanwhile, Kyle Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez, who, of course, we'll see as the homestand begins against the Blue Jays here this week, No, they're the ones pitching the best ball right now. And Dean Kramer, it's been a little more up and down, but Dean Kramer pitched well his last time out. So, we keep talking about the young guys and the innings and the workload and beyond how many innings they have left, how effective they're going to be down the stretch. And they continue to get the job done. But Kyle Bradish, especially first time through the order on Sunday, I mean, he was sensational. I mean, it was one of those starts that those first three innings, you're thinking, are we going to be sending out a WNST text alert in the sixth or seventh inning? Of course, gave up a couple hits, but
Then he hit a
certainly,
guy. Yeah.
but he pitched so well, and that's what you want to see. You get an early lead, pitch aggressively. Don't walk people, don't nibble, don't get into trouble and put a bunch of guys on base. But it's just been so good to see him pitch the way he has, and Grayson Rodriguez pitched the way that he has since returning from Triple-A Norfolk. So again, they're in the 6-man rotation right now. They're trying to manage that. I understand that, that's, I don't know if trepidation is the right word, but I think there's some anxiety in terms of how that's all going to work out. But you said it, and it was something I was going to bring up. As the Orioles come home 30 games above 500, first time they've been 30 over since the end of the 2014 season. I mean, you mentioned 1997. I mean, I think the highest that team finished 98 and 64. I think they got up to 38 over at one point in time. I mean, that's the kind of territory we're talking about at this point, the rest of the way. And as you mentioned, the schedule the rest of the way. Now, you don't want to get complacent. You don't want to relax. Certainly, Tampa Bay's right there with three games out and has stayed right on their heels for the most part. But of their 38 remaining games, 18 of those are slated to be against teams that are sub 500. So we know the Orioles have played really well against tough competition. But when you see roughly half of your remaining games are against sub 500 teams, that makes you feel a little more confident that they're going to continue to roll. And yeah, they might have to manage their rotation a little bit. And they're still trying to figure out who's going to pitch high leverage in the bullpen. And there's some scuffling over the course of the road trip with relievers not named Felix Bautista. And we're kind of used to that at this point in time. But they're figuring it out and they're winning ball games. And at this point, as we're almost 5 months into the season, they've earned trust. They've earned trust that they're going to be okay. And whether they're going to win 100 games, whether it's going to be 98, whether they're going to win the division, or whether they're going to be the top wild card, however it shakes out here over the last 6 weeks. And certainly they want to win the division and they want to be the number one seed. But however it shakes out, you're fully confident that they're going to be there standing and they're going to be playing in the postseason now. And we're going to be talking about Kyle Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez being in a postseason rotation. And, where's DL Hall potentially fitting into this? Where's John Means fitting into this as he started his rehab assignment? So, they've got some other options. They've got some moving parts. They've got some guys banged up on the position player side, Santander with a back and Hicks back on the IL. But, they've earned their trust. They've played so well for so long now that we can continue to talk about these issues, and we will, because we're still trying to project what it's going to look like come October. But in the meantime, they just keep winning. And it's not always the prettiest, or it's not always a blowout like it was on Sunday, but boy, they just keep on rolling. And when you're 30 games over 500, as you're 10 days to go in the month of August, boy, you're really doing a lot of things right, even if you do have some question marks that'll linger as we get closer and closer to playoff baseball.
Lucas here. He will be there with the Ravens all week. They have two games this week. The Orioles start games against Toronto at home. Nice little homestand here after going out on the West Coast for 10 days, playing all night. I was down in Ocean City watching him every night at Secrets at 11 o'clock at night, playing the Padres, playing the A's on Friday night as part of our Mako coverage. You can find Luke at Baltimore Luke, anywhere the good internet is served. Blue Jays first, then the Rockies. Luke, for you with the pitching, and with me saying, are you satisfied? Give me your temperature on Flaherty, Fuji, these pickups. You were always the voice of reason. Like, these guys get picked up. It sounds great when you pick them up on August 31st or even August 18th or whenever it was that they grabbed Fuji. And you're like, well, these are the additions. And meanwhile, it's August 20th, and we're talking more about Bradish and more about guys in the system and more about DL Hall and more about John Means. And I know Givens, that's not happening now, but from within, how are you feeling? Because, boy, they give the ball to Fuji late in the game. I mean, Flaherty takes his turns now every fifth day. He's got a ways to go to earn some trust here. And there is the point where Grayson Rodriguez has started to emerge as the guy we thought he was going to be, and the lights are going to get glaring. The lights don't get glaring until game one when you take the ball. Like, yeah. I think the rest of the way here, the lights will be bright. People be coming to the games. And you get banged around a little bit. You're up 30 games over 500. You don't want to lose the division, but I'm also not going to lose my head because the guy coming over from St. Louis, it hasn't worked out great so far. Again, he might be the dog in game three, going seven innings and beating the Astros, because these guys have a little pedigree for that. I do have a level of, you say trust, I have a level of confidence that they can compete.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as the young guys, and we've talked about this concept before. I know I've talked about it with Dennis. I mean, they play with such a confidence. And I mean, Gunnar Henderson's a great example of this. We've talked about this with Adley Rutschman from the moment he arrived last May, that there's almost that sense of, you know, they have that healthy ignorance about them.
They don't know any better.
That they don't know any better. But it's just like, hey, this is what we've been doing since we were 10 years old.
That's what makes it even more fun.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And look, I don't know how long that will carry them. I don't know if that will be the World Series. But I think that can carry them through at least a series or two. You know, so who knows? But to go back to what you said, I mean, clearly Fujinami, I mean, it's at best a coin flip proposition. And we even saw the fact that he pitched the ninth inning on Sunday. And Brandon Hyde's talked about this, so it's not as though that's out of left field, but he's talked about the fact that he'd like to get him some low leverage to kind of work things out, see if he can get a better feel for that split. You know, he throws hard. You know, you see the velocity, but, you know, he got burned on a splitter over the weekend, and you know, he's trying to work on the cutter a little bit. You know, that is what it is. I think DL Hall is going to be in this bullpen sooner rather than later, whether it's going to be sometime in the next 10 days or whether it's going to be when rosters expand on September 1st. So, you know, he's looked good since returning to Norfolk. You know, is he going to be a one inning guy, two inning guys? Can he pitch some back to backs? I mean, those are questions about him, but certainly he's going to figure, assuming he stays healthy. So he's an intriguing arm. I think he's someone who, depending on how he pitches, and this goes for anyone, you know, I mean, this goes for anyone that is in their current bullpen. I think as much as we've focused on Fuji because he was the shiny new toy, I mean, take a look at what Webb's done. Even though he, you know, got into some hot water in the 10th inning on Saturday night, he's been really good for them, you know, and he's shown some stuff that, you know, I think has been impressive. So,
well, he's earned the confidence of the manager.
At the moment, right? I mean, at least for right now, and we can see how that changes. You know, certainly, you know, you look at Cano. I mean, I think they're still hoping that Yennier Cano can get back to closer to where he was earlier in the year. Not that they don't have confidence in him anymore, but we've seen it hasn't been as consistent the last 6, 7, 8 weeks. So, you know, other than Batista, it's kind of sitting right there for these high leverage situations for someone to grab it. You know, we've seen El Perez since Danny Coulomb had to go on the IL. We've seen Perez, you know, do well in some spots that would have gone to Coulomb normally. So you hope that pays some dividends. But, you know, that's where there's still, you know, there's still a lot of moving parts to this. You know, whether we're talking about a John Means coming back and what role he would potentially fill. And again, I'm not saying you count on that, but
it's not plug and play. But when you're playing a team that's got 34 wins at the end of August, it is time to, like, you know, take the car for a ride a little bit when you get those opportunities. And I mean, they're going to have a couple more of those kinds of series that maybe they sweep or win two out of three because the other team just stinks. And then they're going to have these more competitive goes, like they're going to have the next couple of nights against Toronto and a couple of weeks from now against Tampa, right?
No question about it. And look, some of those, you know, you just mentioned some of the lesser opponents. That's where you hope you have a few more games like you had on Sunday, where, yeah, when it's 10-1, you can experiment a little bit, so to speak, right? I mean, you can throw a guy out there in a spot that, no, it's not high leverage, but it gives Fujinami a chance to work on some things against some major league hitters. Well, I use major league loosely when talking about Oakland, save for a few guys in that lineup, but you get my point. And they are in that position. They've earned the right to be in that position where you can look at some of these games against sub 500 teams and look, they have to take care of business. You know, you don't want to be in a position where you drop series or suddenly you, you're giving Tampa Bay a chance to really, you know, not that they're out of it at three games out, but you don't want to let them even up with you. You know, and of course they play in mid-September in Baltimore, a four-game set, which that'll probably be as close as they get to postseason feel before actually getting to the postseason.
But in the meantime, they got Rockies and, you know, you know, White Sox, these teams that are playing 350, 400 ball, like, next, they should eat well on this homestand. And you Toronto would, notwithstanding, they're going to see Gausman, you know, all that stuff. But notwithstanding, these are the good days, man. This is fun. Get out to the ballpark before the kids go to school.
Yeah, no question about it. And look, they've done well even against some of these tougher homestands they've had for the most part. They've been able to eat. So you certainly would hope for that. You don't assume that. You know, you can't take your foot off the gas, so to speak. But, you know, we've seen it. I mean, they have a six-man rotation
right
now.
That's like 24-0.
Yeah. And they haven't been.
I mean, that's unbelievable, right?
And we've talked about this crazy stretch where they haven't been swept since before Adley Rutschman was called up. I mean, that's just, it's extraordinary when you really think about it. I mean, every team in baseball gets swept a couple times. You know, I went back and looked at the 83 Orioles. They were swept four times that year. They had 2 7 game losing streaks that year. I mean, that happens. So for them to, and it's almost, you know, it's taken on a life of its own, you know, this stretch, you know, you hear about it mentioned on the broadcast and fans are mentioning it on Twitter every time they win the first game of a series that they won't be swept for another series. But it really does speak to the mindset. We just joked a couple minutes ago about, you know, some of these young guys having that healthy ignorance of not knowing any better, that they're not supposed to be this good because they're not experienced enough yet. But it is, that is a perfect example of their ability to, and Buck Showalter's best teams did this as well. Any great team does this. Really good teams do this. They're able to mitigate those struggles. You know, you drop the first couple games of a series, you know, you come out and win the next day. You don't let losing, you know, go back to right before the All-Star break, you know, right around the 4th of July when they drop, what, 6 of 7. You don't let dropping 6 out of 7 suddenly morph into dropping 12 of 15.
They've had a couple of hideous losses. I mean, the Grand Slam with Batista. I mean, they've had they got punched in the face a couple times.
I mean, but everyone's going to have some of those. The difference is, how do you respond to that? Do you come out the next night and you're not thinking about that anymore and you go out and win? And that's what they've been able to do. And that the not being swept streak is such a, you know, it epitomizes that mindset that, you know, they're happy when they win, but it's not this big celebratory thing. And when they lose, I'm in that clubhouse. Yeah, the music's not playing after a loss, but they're not freaking out, and that's the way they've been. And that's, you know, that's the good teams know.
That'll serve
that.
Them well, because there's a 50-50 chance they'll be 0-1 in game one, and that's when the poop hits the fan. And for everybody out there, I remember this vividly and talking about this back in 14. Nothing matters until game one. You know what I mean? Like, they, and the way the format is set up, hadn't really put a lot of thought into it, Luke, when they installed it, because I'm like, worry about learning the new format when the time comes, you know? Yeah. And even things like looking at a Ravens game, you know, in October, and home games, and who would get preferential treatment, and whether they play at 1 o'clock or 8 o'clock, or like, as an example, the Billy Joel Stevie Nicks concert is going on at the football stadium, like, the first weekend of October. That would be a weekend where if they get the bye, they would have a game one or game two. Almost moves it to an afternoon game. Like, there's scheduling issues here. I remember the Cordell Stewart issue back in 97 when we had a playoff game downtown and the Ravens were still playing at Memorial Stadium back in 97. So there's only one parking lot. So they'll have to figure that out on nights when Billy Joel's in town, because these are first world problems for the city and for the parking lots and for the football team. My thought on all of it, though, is still game one, everything changes with the playoffs and these short series and anything they get experience to do. So that if they're losing 3-0 in the second inning and the crowd gets quiet and Verlander's on the other, you know, whatever that experience is, that they're going to be able to overcome that, because they're not just going to cakewalk to the World Series, bro. You know what I mean? Like, bad stuff's going to happen.
No, and they're not going to because they haven't played that way all year. They've played close games and things have been a grind at times. And my goodness, we've been talking about the bullpen falling apart for like 2.5 months now. It's held together. It hasn't been
And
pretty.
all of a sudden, here comes DL Hall and John Means, just the way I wrote
Right. Or Tyler Wells and
it
John Means goes into the rotation and someone else goes into the bullpen. So they still have some options in that way. And look, they're going to have to figure that out. And I'm not, no one should assume that John Means is going to be able to help them. But now that he's actually making rehab starts, you can think about it, right? And, you can think about DL Hall because he's back at AAA and he's striking out a bunch of hitters at AAA. And, the velocity maybe isn't peak, but it's certainly better than it was earlier in the year when he was dealing with the back issues. So, you're trying to figure all that out. In the meantime, six-man rotation. They're trying to massage these innings, these workloads for these young guys who, by the way, and as we've said, with Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez have been their best starters recently. Bradish all season, but in the case of Grayson Rodriguez, I mean, that start he had against the Padres last week was he looked like an ace. Anyone who watched that game, his mentality, missing bats, gave up the home run, and then comes right back and strikes out, what, three in a row right after that. It's just kind of stuff that you expect from a top of the rotation kind of guy. But Bradish has pitched that way since May, So they're trying to figure it all out in terms of managing the workloads, managing the innings, giving these guys an extra day's rest. You made mention every fifth day, it's every sixth day for
Right.
these guys at this point. And even with the off day Monday, they're staying in turn. So it shows you they're really trying to stretch that out as much as they can.
Cole
But
Irvin giving him 5 innings, that helps too, right?
I was just gonna say, in order for that to work, you need Cole Irvin to be competitive, and he's been able to do that his couple times through the rotation, and we'll see how that continues. We'll see. We've talked a lot about. I made mention of Gibson. His last couple times out, and it's, that last time out was not good. And he was staked to a lead in that game too. So, you're hoping you get Jack Flaherty as he's more acclimated, more comfortable in his surroundings, pitching for the Orioles and. All the things the Orioles do from a biomechanics standpoint and their lab in Bel Air and all the analytics. Now you're hoping you can still get him to pitch a little more like he did in Toronto his first start. And he's certainly capable of doing that. But these are the same things that every other contender is talking about right now. Every other contender in the American League, whether it's something with their lineup or their outfield, their bullpen. Everyone needs starting pitching. So that's not unique. But the Orioles are not different in that way than any of those other teams. Where they are different is they have a better record than all those other teams. So from that standpoint, you look at where they stand right now, 30 over 500 with what, 38 games to go. I mean, their path to winning at least 96, 97, 98, 99 games, that's what the work they have to do that, that's not a, you look at that on paper, that's not an intimidating hurdle to cross. I mean, that's very realistic for just what they've done all year. I mean, whether they're going to win 100 or not, we'll see. Even that, their
They need
current
to win
pace with
23. They need to play be 23 and
15,
15, right?
which is, hey, that's a good stretch, but that's what they've done all year. So can they do it? Sure. Will they do it? We'll see how it plays out. But everything about this team, and I'd be remiss, because you mentioned Gunnar Henderson in passing. Mateo had the inside the park home run. Let's give Ryan Mountcastle some credit because there are lots of people, myself included, looked at where he was and looked the vertigo, how much that was impacting him, maybe even before he landed on the IL. Who knows? But Mountcastle, he's got a 26 game on base streak. Best streak the Orioles have had in that department since Jonathan Scope back in 17 when he was an all-star, went down to Miami and covered him that year at the all-star game. But Mountcastle's been one of the best hitters in baseball since the all-star break. And, so to get him back on track, and we've seen it in the past when he swings well, and that's not to say he's going to do it the rest of the year because he's been a very streaky hitter to a maddening degree at times. But to see what he's done, in addition to Rutschman moving into the leadoff spot, I think that's been a nice boost for them with his on-base ability. Gunnar Henderson doing what he continues to do. I mean, I thought it was so cool, and I saw you made mention of it on social media as well, that he crushes that ball inside the first base bag. It would have been real easy for him, especially a 10-1 game would have been easy for him to just say, oh, I'll just stay at first. That's not how he plays, though. I mean, a kid plays so hard. Brendan Hyde even talked about this. It was at the end of the last homestand. He talked about the fact that Gunnar Henderson, one thing that concerns him about Henderson is how hard he runs into first base and puts his foot on the first base bag trying to beat out a ground ball. It's something that Hyde has actually talked to him about and said, hey, we want you out here for 150 plus games, every year. There are times where that we want that, but there are other times where, dude, you got to be thinking about the big picture also. And I think Gunnar Henderson doing what he did on Sunday, where needs a single for the cycle, and he goes into second base hard. It's a blowout game, and
Hey, I've been
he
telling Lamar Jackson not to run into linebackers for
I
5
mean,
years
it's
too. So, it's
but it's just what a great and I'll even th this sounds a little corny, but so many young people, so many kids that are getting into the Orioles and everything. You see that example right there where he could have just, he could have
a
pulled
little
up and just
different than
stayed at
Manny
first,
Machado. A little different.
And look, and to be clear, I don't think Gunnar Henderson's the only guy on this team that would do that. I'm not saying that, but you see an example like that, and you say, hey, that's a pretty cool example to see, one of the best young, bright future stars that's an Oriole right now, and the rest of the league is quickly finding out about this kid. For him to do that in that spot, that's pretty cool. And oh, by the way, he just, instead of the cycle, he had to settle for four extra base hits in one game. That's not too
No
shabby.
one would have begrudged him stopping at first base, and they would have said
No.
it's a cycle, it's cool. Nobody would have, there's no argument on that, right? Literally.
Yeah. Well, and Brendan Hyde joked after the game. He said, well, maybe Gunnar was just trying to elevate his OPS a little bit more and, get the extra base hit there.
Well,
But
there's a part of it respecting the game too. Play
sure.
it out. Play the game out. Luke Jones is here. We're playing the game out. He'll be playing the game out late night with the Ravens this week, as well as early night with the Orioles playing 7:05 games. Finally, how'd you do with the toothpicks in your eyelids last? I mean, I was in Ocean City, dude. 72 hours, 3 days in Ocean City. I was never even on the side of the coastal highway where the beach is. That's how that I saw as much beach as you and I did the two times we've done Super Bowls in Miami and Tampa and anywhere else there was a beach.
I'll say the nice thing about the West Coast trip is gone, at least now, right now, and maybe that'll change in the future. Gone are the days of those 10:35 starts. I mean, remember the 10:35 starts? I mean, especially pre-pitch timer, pre-pitch clock, when these games were starting to go 3, 3:15, 3:30. I mean, that would be rough, especially, well, and let's call a spade, 2018, 2019, 2021. I wasn't even trying. I'd watch the first couple innings, and then
That's it.
I'll watch the highlights on MLB Network the next
Quack
morning.
out after Johnny Carson is what I
But
say.
yeah, but it's been nice. I mean, these games have been more 9:40. You know what? The one game, the last game in San Diego was actually an 8:40 start.
Yeah.
So that, that's not too bad. But I admittedly, I dozed once or twice. Long days in Owings Mills covering, covering practice on the backfields, even though the weather's been pleasant in that regard. But it's been fun. And that's the one thing I'd say about the San Diego series. I'd be remiss because, we're not going to, we were focusing on Oakland and just the West Coast trip in its totality. I will continue to say it is amazing to me that the Padres are as mediocre as they are record-wise when you watch them, even for 3 nights. That right there is,
Underachieving.
the anti-Orioles right now, let's say, compared to the Orioles, who you feel like they're getting everything they possibly can out of their talent. That let's not misconstrue. They're very talented, but they're still young and they're still ascending. And you still feel that these guys are, Gunnar Henderson's going to be better 2 months from now and 2 years from now than he is right now. Whereas you look at the Padres and say, how's that team under 500? How's that team not neck and neck with the Dodgers in the NL West? Well, the Orioles lost 2 out of 3. Not the end of the world, certainly, but that was the one thing that, one of my takeaways from this West Coast trip is that, boy, the Padres should be way better than they are, because you see them just for 2 or 3 nights, and you see the talent and how little they're getting out of that in the win-loss column.
My takeaway was I need to go to San Diego next year to see the Orioles play.
There you go.
Luke
That
Jones
as well.
here. He's Baltimore Luke. You can follow him out on the interwebs. I have been at Mako in Ocean City promoting our friends at the Maryland Lottery as well as Window Nation and really having some great conversations. Spent a little time with the governor. We spent a lot of time with Ben Cardin as well as Chris Van Hollen talking about federal stimulus money, things going on with the city, what's happening there. Carl Anderton, who's a delegate, Republican delegate from the Eastern Shore, who's a big sports fan, big Oriole Raven fan, always sort of in the know. We had had him for an extended visit, as well as Odette Ramos from our city here, talking about making things better around here and going down to Annapolis and looking for Wes to help out. So lots of political stuff around here this week. You'll hear that mixed in with some Oriole stuff, as well as the Ravens and the residue from the Washington Commanders. I when you spend time in D.C. with Montgomery County people and Prince George's County people and Southern Maryland, Charles County, all, hey, they're going to change the name of the football. I don't care. As long as they lose is all I care about. The Governor's Cup, I think, is what they call it. They used to call it this. I think Fooey on all that. We have baseball around here all week. The Blue Jays are in town. Luke will be there. Colorado Rockies. And I will be here. And you can find me anywhere the internet travels. Add on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm Nestor. We're WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. Little Orioles, little Ravens, and a lot of BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.